Hello.
G'day.
How are you, mate?
I'm good. How you doing?
America 19, this is a rubber dog with G'day World 142. You got a copy of me, Big Ben? Come on.
G'day world. It's Thursday, 13th of July, 2006. My special co-host for this evening's show, Clark Scott from Melbourne. How are you, Clark?
I'm doing well, Cam. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well, mate. Now, we're going to do a bit of an interview thing here tonight with you, Clark. You're going to tell us all about your new baby.
My pet project.
Your pet project. Driverchange.com.au.co.uk and .com. That, what, you've just launched?
Kind of, yes. We've done it, or I've done it in a slightly phased way, if you like. Basically just to hack something together for the Australian market. And put that out and contacted some dealers, and they started putting their cars on. And I actually had one, when I started contacting them, I won't tell you how I did it, but I started getting telephone calls, and one of the guys, one of the dealers, they're like used car dealers, right? One of the dealers said, he actually thanked me. I don't know if you've ever spoken to used car dealers, mate, but they generally don't thank you for things. I was quite surprised.
All right, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, mate. You're jumping ahead of the story. So, Driver Change, sell your car for free. It's a site that enables people to sell their cars, right? Put used cars up and other people buy them. Why don't we go back and why don't you tell people, because this is a good story, why don't you tell people about the genesis of this, how you came up with the idea, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. I was between projects, and I was at home coding by myself. I'd spent about a week by myself, and I started to get a bit bored.
Wait. So what does between projects mean? You're a developer type, and you were unemployed. Is that what that means?
I was, yes. I had some free time. So I went to the podcast network and checked out the Web2 Crew podcast with Marcus from Plenty of Fish, and I'd actually I'd signed up for AdSense about, I don't know, 18 months before that, and I ummed and ahed about putting it on my blog, and in the end I decided not to, because I didn't want people to think that I was a whore, which I am, but I didn't want people to think that. But when I heard Marcus talking about what he'd achieved, and I related to him, because he was just a bloke who was a developer. In terms of the content of Plenty of Fish, I'm not interested in that. But the business model to me, just I got excited about it. And
okay, so for people who haven't heard the Marcus Friend interview, can you explain to people what the business model behind plentyoffish.com is?
Well, essentially, it's a service that's provided for free, and he places contextual advertising on the site. I think for me, the real takeaways of the business model is that his competitors are all subscription based, and that's the same with Driver Change. It's all my competitors, or most of them. The major ones, at least, are all about getting your credit card out and having to spend money to do something, whatever that thing is. In Marcus's case, he's selling flesh.
It's a dating site.
Yeah. And so, that's what he's doing. And my thing's cars. I'm going to take it a little bit further and try and build a community around it as well. And I've been having a chat with Marcus a little bit about his architecture for a start, which I can't actually go into, but also just the content of my site he thought was a little bit thin, so I've kind of tweaked it here and there, and I've only really been going for a couple of weeks. So as I said at the start, I really have just flung it together. That was the other thing that I noticed when listening to Marcus, that he didn't spend a great deal of money up front, if anything. I've spent more than him. And he also, he built it in probably the way we as a developer community talk about agile programming these days, where you build a little bit, you see if it works, and then you add on to it. Now, I've done it in a similar kind of way. It is an organic process where you build a little piece, deploy it, see what happens. You know, if the thing falls over, you've got to do something about that. And then just I'm going to add on to it as time goes by.
So you basically listened to this interview with Marcus, where he talked about the huge Google AdSense checks he's getting for running a dating site, but his dating site is free, as opposed to dating sites where you are supposedly, never having been on one, but I gather
I don't even, what are they worth? Do you know what they're worth?
No, I have no idea.
Come but on.
No, seriously. Ixnay on the flesh side A. But my understanding is that, you know, he's as free and he's got a huge amount of traffic and he's making a huge amount of money purely out of the AdSense. Now, you took that idea and said, well, I'll do that for cars. And I don't know much about car sites, but I'm assuming that most sites where you want to sell your car, if you go up to a classifieds site that's involved in selling cars, you have to pay them money
They're a ripoff. They really are.
Yeah. What do they usually charge to sell your car?
I'll take it a step back. One of the things I tried to do, I'm into cars. I like cars. I don't drive a great car, but I love cars. My old man had a Porsche 911 when I was a kid, so that's my attachment is really to Porsches. But what I tried to do was I analysed the psychology of the people using the site, because I don't think it's just necessarily about page views. I think he's getting like 15 million page views a day or a week or some ridiculous amount. So to me, it's capturing or understanding the psychology behind the people using the site, and then trying to replicate that. So as I said before, he's peddling flesh and I'm peddling cars. I'm joking when I say that, obviously, but that's kind of the idea behind it. So with his competitors, I don't know what it's worth to go onto a dating site, but with cars, the Australian market's actually quite competitive, and you can get on you can get your car onto a site. I won't name them, but generally for about $10. Some of the overseas ones, like the US based, I think it's the biggest US based car classified site is $12.50 for a 2 week period, and you get like one image, and you can place some details about your car. So that's the basic one. The next one up is something like $25 or $30, and that gets you on for 3 weeks. Your ad is on the site for a period of 3 weeks in that case. And then there's a premium where you can place your car until it's sold, and that's $75. So obviously, the feeling I get is that they're trying to upsell you to the $75, because realistically, who's going to sell a car on a website in 3 weeks? I can't imagine there being too many. And if you're a dealer and you've got hundreds of cars, that becomes unbelievably expensive. And just to put this into context, you'll know the ads, Cam. They're really bad ads about a car yard in the eastern suburbs of Melbourne.
I follow.
Yeah. So that group of that particular city of cars, if you like, there is, I think, 200 dealers within that group, and they pay $90,000 a month, Australian, just to be on a series of a group of websites, the major websites in Australia. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, huge industry, and the dealers are very, very unhappy with the way it's run. A lot of them that contacted me said the only people who are making money out of this are the websites. And in the end, it's the consumer, the people who are buying the cars, that get hurt, because the dealers still have to make money. They have to put food on the table for their families. So, you know, if everyone was to stop using them and use free services, there's the potential for the price of cars to come down, or for at least there to be a better experience that when you go to a dealership. I was going to buy a new Camry recently, and I went to a dealership, and Jesus, they're terrible people. Look, this guy was anyway. It was a real pain in the ass.
So, you know, basically, I guess what you've been able to do since the emergence of AdSense in the last few years is a genuine source of advertising-based income for highly trafficked websites is change the business model for these classified type sites now. So rather than trying to make revenue off the people who are trying to sell their product, be it flesh in the case of plentyoffish.com, as you said, or motor vehicles in the case of Driver Change, it's about providing the service for free, and you make your revenue purely off the Google AdSense that's in there, which is really what Google does with their business, right? You know,
before, it's about building a community. And it's something that Microsoft have done in the last 5 years with .NET. Previous to that, they had the old school business mindset, and in my opinion at least, in the last 5 years there's been a big shift as they've brought in newer people into the organisation. And if you just you look at their express versions of their Visual Studio and so forth, they're giving them away these days for free. I'm fairly certain it's free. You couldn't do it. You couldn't get that 5 years ago. So I think that the whole concept of building a product or building a business around a community and having the community help you sell the product and have a feeling like you've got some kind of ownership, you're involved with it.
So how do you do that with a site like Driver Change? What is going to be the community aspect of it?
Well, the Driver Change also has I've set up forums and blogs and a gallery so that users of Driver Change can go and ask questions, be it, you know, about bolt-ons for their car, or you know, how do I bleed the brakes? So maintenance-based issues or technical-based issues. So if there's mechanics, or I've got a mate of mine who's a transmission mechanic, and they have a lot of those types of forums where, you know, there may be a new Beamer has just come in, and they're not really sure how to even diagnose the problem, so they'll go to these forums and ask questions and get guys from all over the world to answer it for them. So there's that aspect of it. There's also the blog, basically getting users to create content and participate in spreading opinions or giving their opinions on things. I'm also going to create the ability for people to write reviews on cars, so just the general public will be able to go there and create a review on a Ford Falcon if you're an Australian, or a Mustang if you're an American. So just Joe Blow can go up there and create a review. So that's how I plan on doing that.
Hmm. Fantastic, mate. And so
yeah, whether it works or not is another thing, though. I mean, the ideas are kind of pie in the sky. I've spent a little bit of time analysing it, but in the end, who knows, really?
Well, yeah, and I guess as you said earlier on, I mean, you've been working on this how long? A couple of weeks?
It's probably four by now, actually. What's the date? The 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
So you put a month into putting it together, you throw it out there, and
it's a month of 18-hour days, mate.
Yeah, okay. But there's a cost trade-off there. But now that it's up and running, how much maintenance is it going to require? Is it going to be a full-time thing for you to keep it up and running, or does it basically run itself now?
It'll run itself to an extent. Obviously, I have to keep an eye on it. But it'll pretty much run itself. That's the plan. I mean, I don't want to do 18-hour days. I'd like to be able to do... My goal is to maybe do a 4 to 6 hour day, 5 days a week. I've been working 12-hour days for the... I can't remember. And I haven't had a holiday for years. a real holiday. I haven't had a real holiday for years. I obviously have days off, but... I guess when I heard Marcus's story, it was like, oh shit, you know, that'll get me out of having to freaking code all day. I'm going to do that. Maybe it was a naive way of looking at it, but
well, you've got to have a dream, mate. You've got to have a vision.
I'm sure it was the same with you when podcasting first came out. I remember when it did, and you were blogging about it, it from my side, just reading your post, you seemed to be very excited about it, because to you it seemed like a great opportunity, and it still is, but it's been a shitload of hard work, correct?
Yeah. Today's not a good day to talk to me about podcasting.
Right, okay. But that's business, though, isn't it? Everything, it always looks good before you start. You get halfway through and you think, Christ, why don't I start this?
Well, yeah, I guess when we started TPN, the vision behind it was and still is trying to create a platform that would enable a new kind of media, which I felt was really, really important to the health of society and the health of the human race. We need to have more diversity. So the vision has always been there and continues to be there. But you're right, the business side of things is the hard part of it, where it never goes as easily as you think it's going to go, and it never happens as quickly as you think it's going to happen, and it always costs 10 times as much as you thought it was going to. Well, at least it's been my experience. I don't know if it was Marcus Friend's experience, and hopefully it won't be your experience, man. Hopefully this just explodes for you and goes through the roof, and you'll be pulling in $800,000 AdSense checks like Marcus every couple of months.
I'll chat you a beer if it happens.
That you're a good bloke. You're a good bloke. But yeah, man. Look, I think your model is fantastic. You know, if we talk a lot about on the show, we talk a lot about the Google business model for software and how they're turning that model on its head. You know, traditionally we're all used to paying money for a product, software product. Google are now, because they've got the AdSense engine, they're basically giving software away in return for the advertising revenue that they generate through AdSense. I mean, if anyone can remember back in the days before Gmail, you could get a tiny little Hotmail or Yahoo Mail account, but if you wanted anything with, you know, any service base, you had to pay money, you know, $20 a month, $100 a year, whatever it was. Google came along and said, well, we're going to give you a gig or a couple of gig for free, but you've got the context ads. Now, and they're doing that now with calendaring, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess what Marcus has done and what you are doing is saying, well, we're going to create an online service that traditionally people have paid money for, but now we're going to use the AdSense engine as our revenue model and try and make the basic service free, which, Matt, I think is absolutely a fantastic model if you can get it up and running.
I think it works for online software services. I don't think that model... translate necessarily into the enterprise. So My background is in software development and solution architecture in particular, and that model just, it doesn't fit the enterprise world. And so the model that Microsoft has, that Oracle have, that larger companies, IBM and so forth have, that won't change. And, you know, if I'm an IT manager for a large manufacturing firm in the US with tens of thousands of desktops, I don't want to use a company that has Google's business model, because if something goes wrong, I want to be able to ring someone up and scream at them through the phone because I'm paying so much money. And if someone sends me an email to say, hey, my ad's gone down and I'm currently doing something else, there's less pressure for me to get off my hands and actually do something if the service is free. And Marcus said in his interview, said something similar about, I can't remember the question that was asked, but it was all about ownership. And if you're paying for a service, you feel like you're able to ask more than, I'm not really articulating it very well, but I'm sure you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but, you know, the flip side to that argument in the enterprise space is, mate, I used to spend every day with CIOs talking about strategy, IT strategy, and I can tell you that, you know, all of them are really unhappy with the amount of money that they pay for IT across the board. But, you know, if there's an opportunity for them to reduce the amount of money that they spend on software but still get the levels of service that they absolutely require, then they will take it. And, you know, just because that model doesn't exist today, I wouldn't say it'll never exist, you know.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. I think if there's a lot of piracy out there, and I think if people were actually paying for software correctly, then perhaps Microsoft could, as an example, Microsoft could reduce their fees in other places. I, as an example, a couple of months ago, I was at a place. Actually, yeah, no, I can say this. And they had been using Microsoft products unlicensed. They were I can't say too much than that. Let's just say that I was very surprised that the lawyers weren't brought in.
Yeah.
Very, very surprised. If you read my blog, you'll know where I was.
Well, I don't want to know. But, you know, I think that, you know, for a consumer perspective, free is good. And, you know, I think what you're doing selling the cars, I think, you know, it's got a lot of potential, mate. So how are you going to get the word out? Apart from sponsoring podcasts on TPN, how are you going to get the word out about Driver Change?
Well, I think that's the difficult part. Building the websites, that's the building the software is easy. In generally speaking, building software is not a difficult thing. It's complex, and there's probably a few developers out there now going, "Hey, what the hell's he saying?" But it generally speaking, it's true. The hard part of the software industry, if you're an ISV or you're someone like myself, is actually getting the word out, and that's kind of where my previous ventures have fallen down, because I'm not a salesperson. I'm a geek.
Yeah.
I like to talk, but I'm not really a salesperson. So I guess some of the ideas that I had was is using AdWords in a responsible way, so I don't wake up one morning and owe Google thousands of dollars. I think the blogs will help. Having a community area within the site where people can participate in a passion of theirs, then I think it'll grow organically. Viral marketing, which I hate that term. I don't know about you, but just sounds, to me, it sounds dirty.
Really?
Don't you think?
Yeah, I never thought about it before, but I guess I see your point. But you're talking about word of mouth, so you're going to use a combination of things, but you're hoping that word of mouth will carry.
I hope so, yeah. I think that's again, that's Marcus said that out of all the things that he's tried, the one that really worked the best was word of mouth. And if you think about it, the psychology behind viral marketing, word of mouth, there's an implicit level of trust when someone who you know, even if it's virtually, says, use this service, it's great.
Word of mouth has always been the most powerful form of marketing.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, because of the internet, it can happen on such a huge scale now.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, mate. You know, we look forward to keeping track of what's going on. Have you got a blog that where you're going to be keeping people up to date with how it's tracking you can plug?
I have. I'm not even sure what the URL is now. if you go to driverchange.com, you'll see in the top right-hand corner a link to the Driver Change community area.
Yep.
Within there, there's forums and blogs and what have you. So if anyone's interested in blogging about cars and car industry and motorsport or what have you, they're more than welcome to drop me a line and I can hook them up with a blog or whatever.
Fantastic, man. Actually, it asked me for a username and password when I click on that link.
No way.
Yeah. Enter username and password.
Oh, mate. Don't.
I cancel out of it. The page is there, but there you go.
Okay, well, that's the configuration.
Would you like your blog here? Very good. Powered by Community Server. Wow, somebody actually using Community Server to provide a service.
This is Community Server 2.0, and it is actually a very, very good product.
Mm, that's a Microsoft thing, right?
Of course.
They're blogging stuff. Yeah, okay.
There's nothing wrong with Microsoft products. You look what Marcus has done. One web server, one mail server, one file server, one database server. People laugh at him, but to me it proves that the whole Microsoft's bad, Microsoft products aren't good enough, yada yada yada, is just a crock. It really is dependent on how the software is built. You can build bad software with .NET. You can build bad software with non-Microsoft products.
Man, you've really drunk the Kool-Aid, haven't you?
Well, I'm an MVP, mate, so I've got to... No, but I actually believe that. I mean, that's not me spouting any kind of marketing crap. You know me. If I feel a certain way, I'll just tell you the truth. I feel that. So when I heard... Marcus, there was the whole thing about how do you scale on Windows? One of the ritual, Duncan made that comment. To me, it actually made those guys seem ignorant.
Well, Rich worked at Sun Microsystems for 6 or 7 years, mate. Come on, you got to expect that kind of stuff from Rich.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but it is unusual, though, in this day and age to see, a blogging site or a new media site that's not running on, you know, Apache and WordPress. So that's interesting that you're running it on a community server. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, mate. Well, driverchange.com.au for people in Australia, driverchange.com for people in the US, and driverchange.co.uk for the people in the United Kingdom, eh?
That's it.
Good on you, mate. It's good to see another Aussie, Melbourne boy, trying to shake the tree.
Certainly am.
All the best, buddy.
All right, Ken.
See ya.
Cheers, mate.
If you only listen to one other show on the Podcast Network, make sure it's the best of the Podcast Network. Best of TPN.thepodcastnetwork.com.